We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
That was something. Heat lose. I'm your host, Carla Navas. Alf had emergency today. He posted a little bit on the timeline. He's okay. I see chats set up. That my co-hosts are upset. We're all upset. There's a lot to talk about. There's also some good things that I think we can take from this. So let's, you know, we'll really try to find some silver linings here. I'm gonna bring in my co-host for the day. Hello, Siobhan. It's just us. I feel like everybody decided that today was Alf had his accident. You know, yeah. Boycotted because Alf had a hard seltzer at the Giants game with Russell, so Brad said he would not be on because of that. Yep. And listen, you and I are the only ones with the guts today.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if it's guts.
it's guts. It's responsibility. Shout out to Vane Hype for gifting a tier one sub to Tua. I can't even say Tua's last name. So shout out to Vane Hype for gifting
Tua. The PA announcer couldn't say it either.
Listen, it's a hard. I can't say normal words. I can't. You think I could say two? Yeah. The chat's already mad at me that I'm here. We have a lot to talk about today, Siobhan. Before we get into that, you know, it's obviously a hangover time staple tradition. What are we drinking? Listen, today's a rough day. Siobhan, what are you drinking to get through this game?
I'm just gonna polish off some Woodford Reserve here.
That's good. You need a stiff one after that. Yeah, after whatever the Heat have had, you need a stiff one. I'm under the weather. I'm having a little bit of tea in the mug my best friend gave me. So, you know, you're having a stiff one. I'm having a little bit of chamomile. You know, that's how we get through today.
Balance. I like it.
It's balance. It's yin and yang. All right. There's a lot to get into today. Chats, Matt. Let's start with the good. I think, and there's not a lot of good, but there was some good.
Not much.
There's not much. I think you can say Kyle and Duncan played well. And I think for the long-term vision, chat says, "G, stop calling it a stiff one." Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's a lot of phrasing. It's okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. You're fine. Everything's fine.
Kyle and Duncan were good today. You know, Kyle had 17, 4, and 8 on 55, almost 56% shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, did some playmaking. I saw a little bit of the rim pressure that I think is important. And yes. I thought Duncan didn't force anything, kind of played within himself. You know, 2 for 5 from three, that's 40%. 4 for 8 overall from the field. You know, he missed that lob early for that backdoor cut. That was really, really nice. But all in all, I think like a pretty decent game from him. And I think after you've seen him struggle so much, those two guys in particular, I think you want them healthy. So kind of, I think if there's anything we take away from that, I think it should be, okay, those dudes played well and they need to play well for this team to go where we think they can go.
Yes, that part. They've strung together a couple games now, which is good, especially for Duncan. I still think Kyle is able to contribute to the team in ways that Duncan isn't asked to and shouldn't be asked to. He's, you know, the playmaker, play setter. And so him doing those things on top of scoring, I think is good for them, like you said, for the long haul. Duncan, haven't seen, you know, a couple games of success, I think is really good for his mental effort, nothing else, and just for his mental, you know, kind of getting some of that monkey off of his back. You were talking about Kyle's rim pressure, which I think is one of the pretty important things to take away from his performance. We saw him attacking closeouts, like attacking poor closeouts, getting inside the arc, and you know, doing some things in there. For
did
me, though,
on his back, I thought like, he did a couple of those. Yeah, using his body,
he did do a couple of that, which is are things that I want all of our guards to do more of as we're weaving in and out of people. You know, slow down a bit, let people get on your back, create that space in front of you. For me, I was happy with Tyler. 11 for 19, 2 for 4 from three, 24 points in 29 minutes. I think he's had some, not bad, but shaky games coming back from having been sick. And so to see him kind of get back up to speed, I thought was really good because, again, without that guy, I think, you know, we'd be nowhere on whole of the season. And so those are the pieces of positivity for me. Caleb is in his athleticism, I think is sorely missed throughout the rest of the roster. But yeah, I'll give you Kyle, Duncan, Tyler.
Hopefully Depot can kind of bring them a little bit of that athleticism. Man. Bringing in Alf. What's up, Alf? I know you had a lot of issues getting here, but
hey, Alf.
Yeah, we're upset too. I'm trying to find a silver lining here.
You know what? Listen, I'm not mad at people blaming Kyle, but Kyle played fine. I know some people are mad at Duncan. I know it's sacrilege to talk shit about. Oh, shit, I got some ad playing on my headphones. Sorry. I know it's sacrilege to talk shit about Spo, right? Mm-mm, and I'm not talking shit about Spo, but goddamn, bro. Like, how many fourth quarters are we going to play with a bunch of undrafted guys and Kyle Lowry? Like, it's like, I understand, like, these guys are energy guys. They're good. But you know what? Like, they're undrafted for a reason. Okay? Like, I'm not shitting on them. Gabe has been great. Caleb has been great. Struce has been great. Yurt has been okay in some of his minutes. But if we're playing them for entire fourth quarters when you're down 12 in a winnable game and you don't trust your starters, there's an entirely different fucking problem here.
Yes.
I'm not saying they would have won the game, but Duncan wasn't playing bad. Deadman wasn't playing bad. PJ wasn't playing bad, right? Maybe they weren't having the greatest games ever, but if you have a winnable game in the fourth quarter, don't you try to bring in and trust some of your starters? When fucking Steven Adams, like, is out there with bolts in his neck, just fucking grabbing rebounds all over your fucking 6'5" power forward, Caleb Martin, maybe put your 6'5" power forward, PJ Tucker, who's used to these situations. Maybe throw Dwayne Dedman out there instead of fucking Omer Yurtseven, who I could fucking box out. Like, I'm like, this shit, this cute shit needs to fucking stop. Like, I'm so fucking tired. Like, tonight you were 14 points down in the fourth quarter. Where are your three-point shooters? Where are your best shooters? You got Caleb Martin taking wing threes all night. I like Caleb, but honestly, Caleb's good for like 4 or 5 minute stints, gives you some energy. Now bring in your shooters, bring in Struce, bring in Duncan. What are we doing? Like, I don't understand. Like, this cute bullshit we're doing with, like, let's run Yurt out there for the entire fourth quarter in a home game that was winnable. Like, what do we do? It's so fucking cute, and I'm so tired of it. Like, I just don't understand, like, why we're just – and then somebody said, oh, so they could rest their starters. Then why the fuck is Kyle's 36-year-old ass playing 12 minutes in the fourth if you conceded the game. Because if you were going to rest starters, you've conceded the game, right? So why is Kyle out there for 12 minutes? Why is Tyler Hero out there for the... Go ahead and run KZ out that motherfucker if that's what you want to do. It's just... Like, I'd rather go down with our best players, because that's who's... And I'm not saying all the time your best players are your starters, but PJ Tucker, Duncan Robinson, Dwayne Dedmon, these are guys who are supposed to be part of, like, if you go to a seven-man rotation in the playoffs, those are three guys that should be part of your seven-man rotation. If none of those guys can get fourth quarter minutes, what the fuck are we doing? Take me out, G.
So about Kyle played 30.
I was in a fucking car accident tonight. And it was the second worst thing I saw tonight.
Kyle played 39 fucking minutes Yurt tonight.
Just fucking, like, I feel like Steven Adams took Yurt and tucked his ass into his waistband and said, "You stay here, little fella." Fucking 7'2", good for goddamn nothing. I'm not going at Yurt. I am a little bit. But, like, it's not Yurt's fault that we put him out there against P.J. Tucker and who's the other fucking 6'10" sumbitch they had? Not P.J. Tucker, Steven Adams. And they had another 6'10" sumbitch who got a three-point play to end the third quarter because we can't close quarters. That's a whole nother fucking thing. You have halfway decent defense through the first three quarters. It's a seven-point game going to the fourth. But we give up at least 2 to 3 points at the end of every quarter. So you had two guys 6'10" and up out there. And your only rebounder was Omer Yurtseven. Omer Yurtseven. He's 29 years old and just finally started getting NBA minutes. Like, don't, I'm not blaming him. It's not his fault.
It's frustrating.
I think Spo maybe was trying to match some, my bad, was trying to match some athleticism. I mean, I don't think Dedmon played bad, but I'm not upset with what Yurt gave them when he was in.
But 12 straight minutes? That's my problem, Bob. It's not even 12 straight. It's to end the third and going into the fourth. Okay, Yurt, you gave us a little something. Thank you for your service, my brother. Now, come on, sit your ass back down on the bench.
Yeah.
Yurt's not used to playing a fucking a full quarter against a guy like Steven Adams. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing, like, we, like, all of a sudden Caleb Martin is your crunch time go-to player. Like, come on, you're paying Duncan Robinson $90 million to hit some threes. Go down with Duncan Robinson shooting some threes.
Gabe Vincent played more minutes than him today.
What's that?
Gabe Vincent played more minutes than
him. And
Duncan
Gabe
tonight.
Wasn't that good tonight.
No, Gabe wasn't good tonight.
And today's probably his worst game since
but
he, like...
But, Bon, is that Gabe's fault?
No.
Is Gabe some of the stuff Gabe was doing.
But is Gabe supposed to be putting this many minutes on his back? Like, why are we playing so many lineups with Gabe and Kyle out there?
Which I think points to your point that there is a greater issue. Like you said, if you don't have trust that your starters can give you points and defend and give you some athleticism, like if we keep having to sit our main guys because other teams are athletic, most other teams are going to be more athletic than this team. So that doesn't put you in a good spot if we can't close with the people we should be closing with because we're afraid that they're going to get blown by or out-hustled or out-rebounded. He was like, you're tired of the cute shit. I think too much of how they want to play, how they're made up of, is around like this real cute type philosophy. And like they continue to get like out-physicaled, out-bodied. They are small in height and girth and waist. Like they're just small. So they're going to keep getting like out-gritted doing a bunch of this cute shit like you're talking about.
And
it's not just tonight. It's been a while. Like
Without Bam and Keith, you become, because I thought they were very physical to start the season. But you lose Bam and Keith, you lose a lot of your physicality. But yes. Bob, one of the things you're talking about is athleticism. You don't battle lottery pick athleticism with undrafted athleticism. Like, it ain't going to work. Like,
Only piece of athleticism is Caleb. So,
But you keep throwing, I mean, you want to keep, because Max is athletic, Caleb's athletic. I feel like Gabe is athletic.
I mean, Max,
Gabe is just small, but he's fast and athletic. Right. But like, you're throwing out undrafted athleticism to battle hustle from guys who are picked in the top 15. Like, you're going to lose that every time. Like,
are you not going to lose it with unathletic and like,
well, at least switch it up.
Yeah.
At least throw a little, you know, of athleticism at him, then throw some veteran savvy, some PJ Tucker, some Dwayne. But it's like we just get stuck in these fucking lineups.
They didn't go to the zone at all until like late in the fourth. Like we were getting bodied in our man coverages. The zone has been working decently for them, or at least better than some of the man looks. Like, why wasn't that gone to a little bit earlier just to see? I don't know. I think the rebounding was
probably why there, because they were already getting crushed on the boards. And I agree with you though, but I think that like Inspo's mind is that, I mean, they went to it later, but I think early on it was like, they also went to those like really small lineups, which, and I tweeted this out at the time, and I know they made a little run with that lineup when they went PJ at the five. I just don't like when they do that when Jimmy's not on the floor, because you just get so small.
You can do PJ at the five when you have elite Jimmy offensive out there. Talent.
When you have elite offensive talent, that's what it is.
No, but they were scoring. The offense wasn't the problem. The issue was that they couldn't get a fucking stop. And if you go to those lineups and Jimmy's not out
how consistently are they scoring at that?
No, I'm just saying like in that
they can score, but are they scoring at an elite level? No. You can do that when it's James Harden and Eric Gordon and one of his best seasons ever. Like you can do that shit. Right. You can't do that when you're running back and Caleb Martin shooting threes. Which and I'm not shitting on Caleb.
I agree.
Which has been my issue with like the concept of this team wanting to play small, because we are not talented, like raw enough to cover up and to make.
They don't have enough scoring and shooting to do that.
Yes.
Absolutely. But Siobhan, the flip side.
In a game you don't have enough shooting, why is Duncan Robinson playing 22 minutes?
I agree. I have no idea, and I don't even think Duncan was like the issue defensively either. So it's like I thought he was like fine. I mean, obviously he wasn't putting up nine threes, but like he was fine. Like he wasn't the issue as other stuff was. But like
Caleb played more than Tyler.
Yes. Yeah. No, Caleb played the second most minutes.
Yeah.
And he played 31 minutes.
What are we doing?
See, they can't do that. And like I get what Eric's like still trying to do. Like, okay, you lose Jimmy, you have Bam. Like, okay, Kyle, like, and Kyle was playing well, and it's like he's really the only capable ball handler you have. You know, I think Gabe can do some of it, but I don't think you want Gabe handling for like tons of minutes. Right. So, you know, if you're Spo, you're like, okay. Let's go really small. Let's try to buy a couple minutes and get some points because our half-court offense isn't working. I agree with Siobhan. You're not talented enough to do that. They're not like the big three Heat where they can go super small and they have all this athleticism.
You're not
and
Golden scoring State.
And
you're
shooting. Not yeah.
Houston with James, like you said. You're not these makeup of teams.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Miami Heat basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Miami Heat tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all their NBA tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. Which, I mean, at this point, if you haven't bought your ticket to see the rematch of the Jokic Brothers live at home at the FTX Arena, time is running out. Just visit tickpick.com/heatbeat today to save $10 on your first order of Miami Heat tickets. Once again, that's tickpick.com/heatbeat to save $10 today on your first order of Miami Heat tickets.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, and we bring in Moose here, but like in theory...
What's going on, people? I'm here to celebrate a Heat win, baby. I did not watch the game. I had a family dinner. Wasn't scheduled to be here, but I am excited because I heard that we were without Ja Morant. So, I mean, we're celebrating. What was the final score? We blew them out.
Tyler had 24. Tyler had 24 on 11 of 19.
But I hit him one time with a drip guy.
Shot 58%, Moose. Great shooting night.
58%.
Had five turnovers, but you know, we take those. We live with those. He played really well.
We'll take it. So we got a Heat win and Tyler went off?
No, they lost by 15.
We lost? But without Ja.
Mm-hmm. Please stop. No, you sound like E-Reed and Crotty. I hate that.
Okay, but hold on. But we can celebrate Jimmy Butler's back, right? What he do? Triple double? What's going on there?
He broke his ass. He broke his ass again.
He broke his ass again, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Again?
Yeah.
The other cheek?
No, right? Both of them. Right
left
down
cheek,
the middle.
Right cheek. Right.
It's like... right down the middle. He split it right in half.
Dog, I was cringing when he fell. I'm like, oh my God, you gotta be fucking kidding me. He looked like, the second he got out there, I'm like, this man's not right. He had that one block. That was the only moderately athletic thing he did. After he dunked, he was limping. Did you see that, Siobhan?
What?
After he dunked,
he was limping the whole rest of the time. Like, I don't think he should have played. He was pressing early on to try to like get himself going. It didn't look good. We saw the offense like stagnate because when he's trying to get himself going, it stops the movement, stops the motion. That turnaround wasn't dropping. He doesn't have his legs. Like, he didn't look good. I don't think he should have been playing.
Alf, he looked bad, dude.
105 to 90?
Wait, sorry. RG, let's go ahead. I'm going to do something real quick because I said something last game, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to go through the losses and see if my eye test was right.
Tired of PER, EFG, QBR, PDQ, and QVC? Wait, what? Well, ditch the calculators and spreadsheets and check out the only stat that truly matters. It's time for Alf's eye test.
Okay, so
who puts the finger waves on Tyke?
Gets
man.
Me every time.
Why does Tyke have finger waves?
Why not?
Go ahead.
Okay, so tonight they lose the first quarter 34 to 25, right? Mm-hmm. You end up losing by 15, so you lost the rest of the game by 4. All right, so let's go to the Milwaukee loss. Of course, now my fucking computer's going slow as shit. You lose to Milwaukee by 22. The first quarter. In Milwaukee, it's loading right now. I know they lost it. I just want to see how much.
I can pull
they up. Lose 34-23 in the first quarter. So 11 points in the first quarter. I made the point last game that these slow starts are killing them.
Yeah.
Like when they beat the Pacers, what happened? Kyle and Duncan made some shots in the first quarter. You were up 5, 6, 7 points, and they are so much better with the lead. But when they have to shoot to get, I mean, their offense is just not very good.
They lost to Cleveland first quarter 31-16.
You said Cleveland? Notice,
yeah.
Yep. When you play with the lead,
I'm telling.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Just every loss, they're losing double-digit first quarters.
When you are able, when you play with the lead, that's when all that, like, try hard, gritty, we're going to be tough, we're going to be physical type shit.
You're
that's
boasting. When that, you're feeling yourself.
And that's when that, like, stuff flies. When you have to play for behind and you don't have, like, dynamic people on offense, but when you need people to be dynamic and be able to get their own buckets, but you're mostly comprised of tryhards and, like, it's difficult. You're not going to win many games like that with this current construction of things.
When the Caleb Martin threes hurt when they don't go in,
yeah,
it's a bad look. Like when you need the Caleb Martin three. Now, when you're up by 7 and Caleb Martin hits a 3 and you go up 10, sweet.
Yeah.
When you're up 7 and Caleb Martin doesn't and misses a 3 like we all expect him to, no big deal. You go down, you get a stop. Now you're back up 7 and you know you and Tyler hits a mid-range and now you're back up 9. When you're down 13 and Caleb misses a 3, heart-wrenching.
Caleb, Gabe, but, same thing.
Deflating. It's all of it. But those guys shouldn't have to hit threes. Like they shouldn't have to do that to win you a game.
I think this is a good time to go around the room and find out who kicked our ass.
They kicked our ass.
Chat was asking for it.
I don't even know. Fucking Steven Adams kicked our ass. That's mine.
You know who didn't kick our ass? Tyler Hoeneheimer. I just want to say something real quick. I wanted to add on to what Siobhan was saying just before we left this topic entirely. I totally agree. I think statistically, the teams that are leading are always playing better in the NBA, and that's that's about it. I didn't watch the game tonight, guys. I'm just here.
Thank you, Moose. Shout out to Propaganza for the tier one sub.
They lose by 9 in the first quarter to Denver, lose the game by 9.
I'm going to say size kicked our ass, whether it be height, whether it be in body, in muscle mass. I think size kicked our ass and might continue to.
That Desmond Bane guy. He's
strong. Yo, tell me Desmond Bane does not look like the guy from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that Will Smith let win for the recruit. That's it. That's all I got.
Chicago game. Miami wins the first quarter by 7, wins the game by 3.
No, Alf, you're right. And to your credit, Tiff and Siobhan were telling me that before the numbers went sideways on them. And I was like, I mean, their first quarter, like, they're positive like point difference in the first quarter, and credit to you and Tiff, you guys were like, okay, but like they don't look good in first quarters, they look sluggish and the bench bails them out, and you guys were absolutely right, you were on top of that from the jump, and when they've gotten thinner they haven't been able to sustain that. It's been really I'm glad. And they've just struggled, man. They've absolutely struggled in first, probably worst game of the season, you know, and unfortunate. Oh. Like I think his size is usually an advantage for him. Just completely like neutralized as a roller.
I think so.
Memphis sent a lot of help in the paint, and I think that's been a trend of teams. If Miami for some reason does get penetration, teams are sending 2-3 guys of help and they're helping off the shooters, and they're just daring Miami to make passes through the trees, which is why I think their turnovers have been a little high lately. They just have a lot of little issues right now. The Caleb Kyle connection results in a lot of turnovers. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
Yes. Like,
I think they just try shit. I think Caleb knows. He's like, all right, I'm gonna make this play at the rim, and Kyle sees it happening, they're just not in sync yet.
That lob he threw him was terrible. It was a very bad. And Kyle has a tendency to kind of like his lob placement passes. How did the Grizzlies win 5 away games in a row though? Because they're a good team.
They're good.
They're well constructed.
They really are.
That's why I was so pissed with Crotty and E. Reed the whole night. So clearly Twitter is right.
And they're so well developed too, because
starting bad when Tyler starts too.
They've also played like an easy schedule in like the past 5 games. They play like Dallas without Luka.
No, but give them credit though. No. Because they got guys that contribute all the way down through the roster.
Credit to them like fully. But remember, when both teams were relatively healthy, I mean, Miami went in there without Bam and they crushed their soul. So, you know, let's not forget that Miami's down 4 rotational players. 2 of those are all NBA guys. So I think
how have they been?
No, I know. Yeah. No, they're good. They're a good basketball team.
They got a lot of good guys. I mean, honestly, and like the whole Precious over Bane thing hurts so much.
Well, shout out to Frankie. He was banging the table for Bane, who was a phenomenal 3-point shooter in college. I had him, as Brass would say, I had him high on my draft board. The only reason I didn't think the Heat would go for him was because he was even more pudgy in college. And I say that like respectively, because he was in shape. He's just, as you can see. Yeah. Well, whatever. I've been drinking. All right. I wasn't even supposed to be on tonight. I wasn't prepared for this, but Bane's a really, really good player and he's coming into his own. I'm sure tonight, was he lighting it up from 3 and playing solid defense? Cause that's what he's going to make his NBA physical, career off of.
Just very physical, very meaty.
Plays like a linebacker.
Like a battering ram.
Physical battering ram type of dude.
And I think he went the pick right after us.
Yeah.
To combat him, we rolled out like 18 undrafted guys and expected them to stand up to him.
Right. Couple.
Duncan's undrafted, but at this fucking point with $90 million, I don't consider him undrafted.
You graduated undrafted, kid.
Bro, you can't pull that undrafted card.
You can't play him 22 minutes on a night he's having a good night.
To your point about cute shit, I feel like the whole kind of philosophy is a little too cute. Like, I understand Pat and Spo have their guys, but this like unwillingness to go and to like get younger and to be more athletic and to like have and keep springy people around, to keep length around, like, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. Like you said, too cute in a few destructive areas.
I think they try to manage that. By the way, shout out to Patron Chief and Vane Hype for tier 1 subs. Love and appreciate that.
Gotta hit them one time. Drip drop.
What Aisha said.
It's a balance. I agree with you. They're just largely unathletic. I mean, even if you look at the big 3 teams, other than Braun and Dwayne, you know, they were just relatively like, they were like kind of in molasses, right? Like they're just, they've Spo and Riley teams. He'd have never been like this, like crazy athletic kind of group. And it's kind of, they've always leaned into veterans first and it's been largely successful. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I do agree with you that, you know, if your star is not like LeBron or Dwayne, you know, it really shows on the margins how unathletic you are. And like when you need to play at the rim, you know, it's Caleb is the guy most likely to do it, which is like
that style of play is cool when you have 3 generational as Hall of Fame as people leading you off. This isn't that team. This team isn't built that way. And so
they're limited.
Yeah. And so like the reluctance to like maybe approach construction or like the way that you, I don't know, put things together. It bothers me.
I think, like, Alf, at their best, they can beat anybody. I think when they play to the level of their potential, they're, like, absolutely, like, title contenders.
They're best in the East good when they play to the – when they're fully healthy and they play the way they need to play, where they're physical, they're aggressive. Like, when they had that front – when the rotation was Bam, PJ, Dedmon, Keith – like, they were killing people on the boards. They were physical. They were tough. They were gritty. You took out Keith. Okay. All right. Now, you know, who's your backup four? Turn into Caleb Martin. It was, you know, you're playing around with some UD men. It got really, you know, things got started to get a little fuzzy. Now you're out Bam.
Take out Bam.
woo, like that front, like like people were blaming Kyle and Duncan tonight. Like, to me, it was like, man, it was the front court tonight.
Size kicked our ass.
Yeah, they, and the thing is, it's like, it's not even, to me at that point, it's not even so much about roster construction because, you know, like you didn't,
you had the pieces, they're just out.
Yeah, you didn't plan to be down two front court players. And you and then your two front court players are down. It's not like if you were down Dedmon and Tucker, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, right, damn, we're down two front court, but you're down your starting center, yeah,
and your Keith, backup.
Keith was playing almost as many minutes as PJ.
Yeah, Keith is borderline starter-ish.
Yeah, he was playing starter type minutes.
Shooting the ball really well too.
Yeah, that mid range.
He was doing a lot three, of good.
He was shooting well.
He gave you a toughness, like. You had four guys, and you had two of them out there at all times, and at all times they were contesting and fighting for every single rebound. Now you see what's happening. Like, you see Yurt over here. Yeah. Steven Adams is like treating him like a little boy. Like, sit your ass down, bitch, and just grabbing one-handed rebounds. And it's just like they don't look tough. You're watching dudes dance on their court. This whole dog mentality.
I'm so sick of that corny shit.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a dog mentality when you know, like, it's when you have dogs.
Your three biggest dogs. You can't be tough if you're injured. Like,
your three biggest dogs is on the bench.
Like, I agree with you in that sense. Like, let's judge this team when they're healthy in terms of that front court position. Because here's my thing. Just like you were saying, Alf, you have Markeith, who's helping you out when Bam's out there. He's getting that toughness, getting that rebound, getting that front court. You take him out, okay? Now you take out Bam. Where is your toughness besides, you know, PJ and the mechanic? But you can't be relying on them. We do not have a five right now that can fill in for those roles. But that's not to say that they're not on the roster. They're just broken right now, like Jimmy's ass. Like, we just need time.
They got a crack right down the middle.
Exactly, like exactly. Ass.
No, but like I see, I agree with you there. Like, what G was asking, like, how good are they fully healthy? Best in the East, good.
Correct.
Title contending, good. Now the thing is, like I said on the timeline, I think some of the ideas of their depth has been a little bit overstated. So here's my thing with the depth. If you're deep, that's great. If you have a bunch of guys that you could play, a bunch of undrafted guys that you can give big minutes to, and you could still win, that's great. But is your depth really depth if three rotation players can't see the fourth quarter?
Right.
So it's either the coaches don't trust their depth, or they just fucking forget that those guys are there, you know, ready to come in. Like, you do not tell me that you wanted to rest guys and play Kyle Lowry 40 minutes. And then PJ gets 24.
In a blowout.
Duncan gets 22 in a blowout. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, come on. It's like just like common sense, simple shit. Right. Like, it's not smart. Like, Duncan Robinson had a good game and he played 22 minutes. PJ Tucker was fine. He played 24 minutes.
Strus played three. That was so weird.
He played 6 minutes total.
What are we doing? Matthew, you got a bunch of Dylan Brooks. You got all these fucking little, just brolic little fucking fast dudes. Put Strus out there.
Wait, you say Duncan played well?
Yes.
Yeah. Because he only has 10 points here.
Right. No, he shot 22
minutes.
Yeah. Two for five from three. So 40%, 4 for 8 from the field. Just did little things, you know, was kind of playing in himself, wasn't overshooting, was cutting, was doing, his defense was solid. Like,
Strus played 6 minutes.
Right. Yes. Max playing 6 minutes was weird. I mean, Max didn't put up a three.
Max played three, and that's half of those were at the end of the fourth quarter when basically it was like, you know,
no, Strus is on
the bench time.
Eric the Great asked if Strus is on a two-way contract. No, he has a contract. The two-way guys are Garrett and Caleb.
Which our only piece of athleticism outside of Bam is.
And Garrett's been fucking hurt all the time, too. That's the other thing. So it's like they call him up, and the second they call him up, he hurts. What is it, his back or his leg? Or something, I don't know, some shit. He's hurt, right? So Garrett's hurt. Depot's hurt. Jimmy's like a walking corpse at this point. Bam's out and Keith's out. You have, and Udonis is like not a solution, right? So you have fucking six guys that you can't like really trust. Yeah. So your rotation's super short. You're really, really injured. You're playing a 35-year-old almost 40 minutes in a blowout.
Would think that they would rely heavily on those three, you know, two starters and Deadman.
Yeah.
You think that those guys are get 35 minutes tonight? No.
It's strange. And it's a no win.
22, 21, and 24 minutes for Duncan, Deadman, and PJ. That makes no fucking sense to me. I'm sorry.
No,
I love Gabe. I love Caleb. I think they've been tremendous in their roles. But see, here's what's going to happen with Heat Twitter. Watch this. They're going to over fucking play Caleb. Let's call him Caleb.
Correct. Yeah, no, you're right.
They're Deadman. They're going to overplay these guys. When they were thriving in their role, 15, 20 minutes a game, hit the floor, cause chaos, do all the good things, get the fuck off the floor. Thriving.
Yeah.
Doing great. Now we're playing them 30, 35 minutes. Watch the – because I've already saw it. Gabe is trash. Caleb's trash. I saw it all on the timeline, just scanning quickly. This is what's going to happen because they're going to start turning on these guys because we're asking them to do things that they are not here for. They are not ready for. They are not built for. No one's ever said Gabe – like, that's why people – it always makes you laugh. Start Strus over Duncan. Give me 35 minutes of Max Strus, and you are going to see why Max Strus is undrafted and why he is who he is. And I like Max Strus, but give me 20 minutes of full-out Max Strus going crazy. Love the guy. I don't want to see 35 minutes of him. I don't want to see 35 minutes of Caleb. I don't want to see 35 minutes of Gabe. And that's what we're starting to see. And watch how the fan base turns on these guys because we're asking them to do things they're just not capable of. Like, this is the NBA. It's not easy. You know what I mean?
The same shit they were upset with them for before they started doing well.
Yeah, but I mean, you magnify it.
No, I agree with
by
you.
By throwing them out there. And like, it's not my biggest thing. Like, it's not fair to them. Like, let Duncan go out there and catch that heat. Let Deadman, let PJ catch that heat. If you're going to lose anyway, put them motherfuckers out there to get mollywop.
No, I totally agree. Sometimes I think the fan discourse is just ridiculous because, like, they're so crazy, you know? Like, they'll go off on a young guy after, like, one game and want to trade him, and then, like, the next year the guy's, like, an all-star, like, the best player on your team. Like, they talk so much shit sometimes. Like, they don't understand, so.
I've never said anything bad about any of our young guys.
Never.
Don't go back and watch last year and my hero takes. But I like this comment from Bronx Joker. You can't push a 99 Honda Civic like a Corvette. Now, I think I'm a little bit hurt because I did have a 99 Honda Civic back in the day. And also, I don't want to be calling Caleb, Gabe, Strus, these guys who've given us so much off the bench. Like, I don't want to start calling them 99 Civics. But
that's a solid car. No, 99 Civics, a solid car.
It's a good car.
That's a compliment.
But how about, like, they're like a 2019 Chevy Malibu?
Not a Chevy. No, American cars are American.
From the Kennel Club to the Civics.
I'm sorry. 99 Civics. So a couple housekeeping notes. Patron Chief donated another tier one sub. So thank you for that. Somebody who was a first time commenter, UnkFan533, his first time chatter here on our Twitch page, just says KZ Akpal is useless. So somebody chatted like their first time in
here.
Chat.
You're definitely new here.
KZ Akpal is useless.
Welcome to the show.
It's just really funny. So shout out to that. And also we have are you guys ready for a little bit of to kind of break down this game a little bit further with Bond's breakdown? We ready for that?
Let go.
Oh, hold up. Let me break it down. So it can forever and consistently be broke.
I don't have
music. Aisha, I agreed with your comment.
I'm not brass jazz, no music.
Oh, that's fine. I'm not gonna talk up over that.
Oh, sorry.
I was vibing.
So sure. I had like one offense, three defense. That just some things that I did not like seeing tonight. It was a bunch I didn't like to see. But we can start here offensively, right? So go ahead. So Duncan sets his back screen for Jimmy. It's not the greatest of screen. Jimmy also, though, should have waited a little bit. So my point right now is look at Deadman, which could easily substitute for look at Bam, because we've seen him in these spots before too. And just the, like, the not accounting for, or not having to account for, one of our people on the floor. Deadman has so much space around him. We've seen him have, you know, a decent amount of success with his little mid-range area. But he's not going to look for the ball. The ball doesn't look to find him. We're trying to bring Duncan off the screen. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kyle off the screen. And then it stagnates. And then Jimmy's trying to get himself going. And he's not able to. The legs aren't there. I personally prefer that, like, all people on the floor at the time be a threat and be an option. And Devin's wide open. Like, he could have slipped the screen. He could have, like, diverted his screen and screened someone else. Like, he had so much space to move and to try to do something. And, you know, we stuck to the play. Go to the next one. A bunch of switching again for no reason. Started from the very beginning because that's where the switch happens. So, pause. All right, Caleb out front, PJ on, I think this is Xavier Tillman right here. There's enough space for Caleb to step up and go over this screen. He doesn't. He runs right into Tillman. Tillman takes him down. So now PJ has to pinch from his player to go, like, try to stop penetration. Start it one more time. PJ has to pinch. He pinches well. He gets back. That's a shot. Pause. He's going to go up to shoot. Go ahead. Caleb has no chance, really, like, at this rebound. Again, small team who takes ourselves out of, like, good positions by doing a lot of unnecessary switching at times. We've seen it throughout the season with the full roster also. Right here. I don't know if anyone said anything to him or if he just didn't hear. Maybe he was too far away to hear. Gabe's going to get smacked by Steven Adams right here. Go ahead. And then immediately it's 5-on-4. So now you have penetration, you have a dump off, you have kickouts, and, like, now everyone's having to over-rotate, and having to over-rotate begets a lot of bad closeouts. They were bad closeouts all over the floor, even from not having to over-rotate. I watched Gabe do a lot of very uncharacteristic, like, really undisciplined closeouts today. Jimmy, too, just flying at stuff. But something like that, like, you're getting screened super high out top. Again, I don't know if he was alerted, but now you just, it's immediately 5-on-4 and a bunch of rotations happen. And then last thing, pause. So Jimmy, this whole possession is really lazy for my liking. Just kind of watch Jimmy's body movement. He's going to switch here and then switch again. So then pause. So now he takes the switch. He takes the roll man and then just leaves him, just, like, completely walks away from him. So now Caleb has to pinch because the dudes are just rolling wide open. And I think that three comes from Dylan Brooks in the corner. Go ahead. And I know Jimmy was hurting, which, I mean, if you're there, then I'm going to ask you to play well or to play. And if you don't feel like you can, or coaches, if you don't feel like he's good to go, then don't play him.
Even if he was hurting, that hurting was no, that he did more work than he needed to right there. Like, that even, yeah. If you're hurting, yeah. He was, I know he was hurting, but he did more work than he had to do. He could have just stayed on his man and rested his ass for a few minutes.
Exactly. He, like, switched onto the dude and then just walked away. And I'm like, okay, so what is that? And again, these are things that they've been doing, healthy, whole, hurt, unhurt. They have bad tendencies that have been brewing.
So on but Saturday,
the margin of error is a lot bigger when you have the whole team. When you don't, that yes, exactly. Kills you.
Yes.
Something I thought was interesting was Cooper Moorhead on Saturday tweeted out, when the Miami Heat switch, they allow 0.95 points per possession, 1.01 when they drop. I thought that was a really interesting stat because, A, the switching is good on defense, but I do think it has its flaws. B, I think those drop numbers are a little deceiving because that's Dedmon in a drop, not Bam. And yes. That's bench lineup. It's usually Tyler and Dedmon in pick and roll, not Lowry and Bam. So while you look at the drop and you're like, oh, 1.1 versus 0.95, right? So there's validity, I think, to the switching, but I just think that if they're not whole, the rebounding is such an issue that I think that the juice is not worth the squeeze all the time.
I think a lot of times with the extra switching, teams aren't taking advantage of it the way that it's there for them to. I think they've gotten like lucky a lot. And it's just how I feel that teams aren't like trying to pick at it.
I think they've been better at it this year. Like, I think that they early in the season, I thought they were really disciplined with sending help early. So when they would pre-rotate on like when teams are like it's more big on small, not small on big. But like when you get like a small guy down, they were very, very quick in sending help and forcing that initial pass. And I think for the most part, out of all the teams, Miami's really good in rotation. Right, like Jimmy's great in rotation, Kyle's great in rotation, Bam's great in rotation. Like now, like those clips that you showed, like those are like not your all-star players in rotation. I think it's a little different, but I think now when you're down, it's why like you're using a lot more zone. I think that the switching is their base, but it just doesn't work as well when it's not Bam really as the catalyst for it. And you know, if Jimmy's out on one leg, really, like what's the fuck's the point of what you're doing?
Even when they were whole, I feel like there's still places that they were being exposed on in the switch. I was surprised. I saw Coop's tweet too. And I was kind of surprised by the numbers. And I wonder if those are like shots immediately, like first pass out of the switch or like out of the blitz, or is it like the full possession? I'm sure it's the full possession, or it wouldn't be called for possession, but I don't know. I hear the numbers, but I also...
You're just not. I know that you don't like switching too much. I think you like it more situational.
Yes.
I mean, I think the league has changed a lot, and I like the Warriors are like an elite defense, and they switch everything, and they're small.
They have elite personnel to do.
Of course, yeah. But I think Miami has elite personnel.
Miami has elite when they're all healthy. But
yeah, Jimmy, Bam, PJ, Lowry, like that's, you know, that's a fucking, you know what I mean? And when they're whole, I mean, their defense is on par. Like, the numbers are on par with the Warriors, and, like, the eye test matches, too. I mean, they made guys like Luka's life hell, right? Like, they've made, you know, we've seen them in the past in a playoff series make Giannis's life hell. We've seen them make Jason Tatum's life hell. Heck, but we've seen them make LeBron's life hell. And, by the way, in that final series, without Bam, after the second game, AD was not that good in that series.
But, you know, where I agree with Bond on the switching stuff is like she said situationally, right? Like when you're playing Jokic, don't switch. Like you don't agreed. Like stop. Like you cannot put a point guard on. Like if you're playing a team where they just have some 7 foot stiff at center, right? You could switch Kyle Lowry onto them because they might catch a ball, turn around, throw up a hook shot, and it might, you know, hit off the top of the fucking backboard. Because a lot of teams do play 7 foot stiffs or 6'10" stiffs, but when you're playing an elitely skilled offensive big
on the Jokic for me, because they can do it to Embiid.
Either he can just shoot right over you. The only thing I don't mind it so much with Embiid because he's not a good passer, in my opinion.
Yeah,
like you pressure him, he can't pass. Yeah. So I'm okay. Like there's been a lot of times like in the past where they played Embiid and Dragic gets stuck on Embiid and Duncan comes over to help. And for some reason, Embiid panics and throws the ball into the fourth row.
Embiid's not doing it. Embiid's realized he's big as hell and is like putting people under the basket.
No, but like Miami goes quick, so they'll front and that help comes quick. And
I mean, he's better at it this year, but in the past, they didn't mind it so much. But when you're playing Jokic or you're playing like a ball to them too deep in the block, like it's over. They're either going to pass out for a three because Duncan or somebody has to come help. Or they're just going to turn around over a smaller guy and just hook it right in. That's where it's like situationally, like it just bothers me when they just play the same scheme night after night. And I know you don't want to do too many adjustments in the regular season, but I also watched them do it against the Bucks last year in the playoffs, where the shit ain't working and they didn't sweat. That's what I didn't understand. Like to me, okay, in the regular season you build defensive habits, right? But But when you're in a series and you're playing a team night after night, you have to play that team. Like you can't just hope that eventually your scheme works when they've already figured it out.
Well, like, I think for the Heat specifically, like, they run a lot of different kinds of schemes, and they do run drop, and they do run, like, a lot of, like, those kind of coverages. They blitz a lot. I don't like the blitzing for them. I think it's been pretty bad. They don't,
they
don't
blitz when it's Deadman. It's so
funny. They don't do it a lot, but they do it a little bit. Like, they did it against, they did it against New Orleans a ton, which I thought was funny. Obviously, like, New Orleans was, like, super down. They didn't have, like, a lot. So it was, like, probably, like, to get reps in against, like, bad point guards. But, like, they clearly have a lot of stuff in the bag. I think the zone is really kind of, like, their secondary, right? Like, okay, if our man's not working, like, we have the zone, and that's, like, a coverage that we like. And I think largely when they're healthy, it'll be okay. But, you know, I think it's a tough spot for the coaches because you know that when you're whole, this is what you're going to want to run, and they're going to be really good at it. And guys go down, and you just can't have an upheaval. Fucking shit.
Oh, God.
You can't have an upheaval of your defensive principle.
I want to address something because apparently Brass Jazz boycotted tonight's show.
Yeah.
I
mentioned that at the top.
And it's because of this photo. Okay. It's not that I was wearing Giants gear.
We need to discuss that. Yeah.
It's not that I was hanging out with Will Manso. It's not because my wife is gorgeous. Apparently, he saw it. Apparently,
we all happened. Saw it.
Right. And there's one on the ground.
What is that,
Al? That one on the ground on Chanel, too.
Yes. Thank you, Siobhan. Thank you.
Nice cargo shorts, by the way.
Look at that. Look right in front of you.
You see that
nice
print on the cargo shorts?
Yeah, yeah,
I don't
yeah,
care
no,
about
that's
the shorts.
That's fashionable.
I like that.
No, that was a compromise between me and my wife. I wanted to wear cargo. She said you have to at least have prints on them and be fashionable. But apparently somebody photoshopped a Truly. Oh. I believe that's what it's called. I would never drink anything like that.
I so think that was
a hell of a job with that photo.
Yeah,
deep fake on that one.
They just photoshopped that one or that one on the ground too.
Yeah, well, apparently there's one on the, what I think is what they, I think they, they
I didn't even notice that.
I think they duplicated the one on the
two
ground.
Times, one on the floor, one in your mouth.
Oh.
I think that's where they got the Photoshop. They duplicated the one on the ground and then put it in my hand.
That's a clone tool.
I see.
I honestly, these deep fakes are getting out of hand. I want to address that. With all the, you know, the Hangover Time faithful, you know, how we get on Solana and Joey for their hard seltzers. I would never.
It's ever, at least 4Ks.
Listen, yeah, I would never. I don't get on Joey for the hard seltzers because, you know, he's living at home. He has to deal with whatever he can
he
scrounge
gets
up. You
Costco
know,
I have money. Exactly. That was a bottle of moonshine.
Solana has a day job, two jobs, okay? High paying jobs. He can afford actual liquor, okay? So Solana deserves.
I'm just going to tell you, like, that was actual, like, it was. I was drinking moonshine. That was not a Truly. That is deep fake. I don't know who did that. Manso posted it. It was, it's disturbing. It's disturbing. I have my lawyers. I have my team working on it because yeah, it's
I got
disturbing.
A gay on it.
Yeah, because it's libelous. It's, yeah. They really went at my character and
it's very defaming of the kid. Yeah.
Defamation. That's yep. it. It's there's yeah. a
well,
defamation
it's,
suit
it's
coming your way.
Hurting the Hangover Time brand. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Thank you. They're fucking with my money. All right.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Our exactly. money. So I think you guys should all be on my side on this.
Thank you, yeah.
yeah.
Well, okay, unless yeah. you get canceled, then that's a bigger pot for the pie for us. So.
Oh, that's true.
He's going to take the show with him if he gets canceled. He's going to disevolve the show.
I did that shit to Ethan.
I was really about to say, that's too far.
that was a better lob, Alf, than Kyle threw all night.
Yeah, that was perfect. That was
oh
great.
My God, that was amazing.
That was great.
That was a finish.
I thought it was a good show.
That was a great show.
I thought we were measured with our criticism and like keeping in perspective the season. But it like there's a lot of shit that needed to fucking be
said. I
don't
know. Tonight. You guys looked super depressed and down when I came in. So I was like, I'm coming in hot.
Came in with this earth curl that was happening.
It was a super weird game.
The what?
You had a little curl, a cute
did
little
I really?
Yeah, on the other side.
Nice.